How was my holiday, you were thinking, right? It was really good. Thanks for asking. Had 2 weeks away. We did some projects around home. Went down south for a bit of a trip down to Busso and Darden up. And then the last weekend we were camping, which was brilliant. And we were down at Wattle Grove. And we got there just as it was raining. So we set up the tent in the rain. But after that, it was beautiful. Fine weekend. It was fantastic. Just a really relaxing time before we came back and I got sucked back into work. But while I was setting stuff up, I had this gazebo up and had a campfire and I was shifting stuff around. There was this stump about this round and I picked it up and chucked it down where I actually wanted it to be. But not seeing on the other side of a tarp was some bricks. And when I put this stump up against the tarp, I dropped it on my finger onto these bricks and it absolutely killed. You know that feeling where you just feel sick in your stomach because you know, oh, that's going to hurt. So I was holding it behind my back, not letting the kids see the blood drip around, just going, oh, boy, that really hurt. So I've got this broken finger. And so for the last 10 days, it's just, you know, every time I try to grab something or whatever, it's causing me grief. At least I think it's broken because I haven't been to a doctor. Yeah, self-diagnosed. And you know, with a self-diagnosis, you could be right, but you could actually have it quite wrong as well. So for all I know, it's just bruising and ligament damage, but it sounds much better to say, hey, this is broken, so have some sympathy. In our story, we've got somebody who's going through a bit of pain, and there's the immediate pain of something going wrong, and she's going, argh! And that could lead to some ongoing relationship pain if it isn't dealt with well. But as she diagnosed this situation, she actually doesn't get it quite right. And she needs the great physician, Jesus, to tell her what's actually going on and to heal the problem, heal the reason that the pain was there. And that's the story of Martha and Mary. So we're going to go through it together and learn some great things because unless you just have the most easy, carefree, weird life imaginable, you know what it's like to be Martha. You know what it's like to be in a situation where you are flustered, you are angry, bitter, you're looking at somebody else going, oh, why aren't they? You know, we all know what it's like to be in those situations. And I'll give you a few examples of some from my life later on so that you'll either think that I'm weird or you'll identify with what we're talking about today. So we're going through the story from Luke 10. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, Jesus spent most of his time up in the region of Galilee, which is further to the north, but he's come south down toward Jerusalem. And one of the reasons he's done that is he knows that ultimately his mission is going to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. There's stuff that needs to go on there, and he needs to start the ball rolling in that respect. So there's a couple of key occasions where he visits Jerusalem, and this is one of them. And so he and his party travel down, and he was a rabbi who, not uncommonly, would travel with his students, and they would learn from him as he travels, as he teaches people. He would go into a town, and people would come to him with their questions of the what we would now call the Old Testament law. And they say, look, this is going on in my life. I know the law says this, but how does that apply, and what about this? And they would ask these rabbis really practical questions about how they should live in the light of what God has said. Very much what we try and do when we come together every week and in other times when you study the Bible. That's the rabbi's job, is to go around and help people understand how the Bible applies to life. And so Jesus would travel and do this, and he'd take his students with him because the goal was that these guys, as they are trained, as they grow in their practical wisdom of how the Bible applies to life, then they'll be able to help others. So he's got this group travelling with him. He arrives in a village, and it doesn't say here, but the village is Bethany, and it's just outside Jerusalem. He's nearly arrived at his destination. So they've been on the road for a while, and he gets there, and look what happens. A woman named Martha opened her home to him. So Martha starts this story as a lovely lady. All right, she's somebody with an eye for hospitality. She sees a person come into her town who doesn't live there. He's there to serve the people and to help them grow in their relationship with God. And she sort of thinks, well, what can I do to be a blessing to this man and his group? How can I contribute to their ministry, which is valuable? And so what does she do? She opens her home. She's somebody who cares about detail. She cares, she notices what people's needs are, and she says, how can I meet those needs? And so she opens her home to Jesus, and she provides an environment where Jesus is being looked after. He's got, in a sense, a home base where people can come and they can talk to him. His practical needs are being met while he meets the spiritual needs of her village. So she's really a part of the ministry of Jesus. So Martha opens her home to Jesus. And verse 39 says, she had a sister called Mary. Now, I'm thinking, right, if I was Martha and I see Jesus, this traveling rabbi, and a group of followers with him, at least 12, most likely some more, that I would be thinking, okay, I'm going to look after them, but I'm going to need some help here. Because there's a lot of meals, there's a lot of practicalities to be organised if they are going to stay at my house. And who's she going to look to as her number one ally? Probably sister. Okay, because in the culture of the day, generally domestic work equals women's work, and so who's expected to look after the house, the food, the bedding, all that kind of stuff? The ladies of the house. So she's thinking, well, my sister is going to be able to help me with that stuff. And I assume that being sisters, they've got a nice bond there, and she's just going to count on that help. She doesn't need to, oh, I wonder if she'll help. Hey, she's my sister, of course she's going to help. And so she offers to do this work. She's thinking Mary's going to help out, and then Jesus is actually there, and he starts teaching, and Martha's doing all the stuff that needs to happen. What's Mary doing? She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. What? Martha is counting on Mary's help, and Mary is doing what? The opposite thing of what was normal in those days. She's actually sitting and doing what the blokes did. They're learning from the rabbi. And so she's getting to hear Jesus talk about the Bible and talk about how it applies to life, which is great for her, but for Martha, that's like, that is not what I had counted on. And you can understand why Martha's feeling a little bit overwhelmed now, because she's got to look after all these people, and the one who she thought, and in her mind, should be helping her, is not helping. So she's a little bit flustered. So the story goes on. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And that word distracted in the original language is very interesting, because it's not distracted like driving down the road, oh, there's an eagle, you know, keep driving. It really means she's got stuff in her mind which is controlling her behavior. She's being driven around, literally, by the thoughts in the head and all the things that she's worrying about. So she's got all this stuff. I need to get the meal done. I need to find places to sleep. I need to organize some extra bedding. And she's got all this stuff, and it's just filling her mind so that it's driving her into a state of anxiety. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him, being Jesus, and said, now, interesting, we don't know if she'd already spoken to Mary at this point. We don't know if Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha's over in the corner going, Mary, come on, I've got to make beds, I've got to cook the food. You know, we don't know if there was any of that going on. Did you get any of that, by the way? Didn't come over well on the audio, but anyway. So we don't know what she'd done to try to get Mary's attention, but regardless, she's got to the point where she said, I need to speak to the man in charge. I need to talk to Jesus and let him sort this issue out for me. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we like to tell God how we ought to solve our problems? God, I'm very upset with Jethro. Can't you get it through his... I was going to say thick head, but that's really unkind. Can't you get it through to him that, you know, he should do blah, 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 blah? And we tend to tell God what other people ought to be doing and how God should fix those other people. That's what Martha's doing right now. Jesus, tell my sister to come and help me. You know, if you really care that I'm here doing all this work by myself, which is blatantly unfair, who thinks Martha's being hard done by so far in the story? Everybody, right? I mean, that's not fair, one person doing all the work. And Jesus obviously would care about that. So, Lord, if you do care, tell Mary to help me. Really interesting response here. Martha, Martha, the Lord answers, slowing things down, all right? Martha's on this whole, we've got to move at a million miles an hour, sort this problem out now, you know. And he says, Martha, Martha, just calm things down for a second. You, and this is the diagnosis thing, he's looking into what only the great physician can see. You are worried and upset about many things. Now, the choice of words there from Jesus is brilliant. You are worried and upset about many things. Worried literally means just to be anxious, as you would gather. It's to be troubled with cares. But the interesting thing about that word is it's closely related to the word which just means to care about. And that's exactly what is going on here. Martha sees Jesus come into her village. She knows that there's going to be hospitality required, that she knows there's going to be practical needs that need to be met, and she cares about that. And that is fantastic. We need people who care about meeting the needs of others. And in Martha's case, it was people's practical needs that she was most aware of. And so she cares about that. But the word therefore worried really means caring out of control. It means you no longer just care, you are being controlled by these things. And you think that everything in life revolves around this issue, their practical needs. So you're not seeing the things that Mary's seeing, you think the only thing that matters is that Jesus has a bed and he has some food on the table and that people don't think that you're a lousy hostess or whatever the case might be. It's all wrapped up in this practical care. And she can't see beyond that. So she's worried. Her care has gone into being controlled by it. And the second word is interesting there as well. It says upset. And the word upset, is I really love it, because it means to make a noise or an uproar. So really, it's as though she walked into the room and says, "Stop, Jesus! We have an emergency. Mary, get into the kitchen." Now, that didn't really happen. But that's what's happening in her head. She's got all this noise of, and it's all she can listen to. It's all she can hear. It's all that she can pay attention to. So whatever else is going on, good, bad, indifferent, she can't see it, she can't hear it, because there's this massive noise of what she's worrying about, which is practical needs have to be met and I have to do it and I need Mary's help. That's all that she's thinking about. It has totally consumed her. And so Jesus says, okay, this is what's going on for you right now. Your care has blown up into being controlled by. All you're hearing is what you're thinking is important, and you've lost perspective on the whole situation of what is going on here. And look at what he says. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing was needed right now. And guess what? It's not the thing that you actually care about most. That is needed and that is important, but right now in this moment, it's not the most important thing. In fact, Mary has chosen what is better, and I'm not going to take that away from her. Now, if I was Jesus, I would have said completely the opposite. Martha comes to me, she's agitated, she says, "Jesus, if you cared about me, you'd tell Mary to help me." And I'd say, "No worries, leave it with me." I'd go over to Mary. "Mary, Martha is really steamed up, and you know how important this is, so just go in there for half an hour, just give her an hour and a half, whatever it is. I'll make sure that you get to sit in later on, but can you just help us out here?" That's the way that I would deal with it. Would you do something similar? Yeah. And often that's what we do, whether in families, in workplaces, with Barry and Dave, you know, whatever it might be. We like to smooth the waters, but Jesus likes to heal problems. And he knows for Martha, this is a problem in her life, which is just going to keep repeating and repeating. Every time she gets controlled by some practical need that she needs to meet and she suddenly finds it's too much for her, she's going to keep blowing up at people, including Mary. And so Jesus needs to say, "Hey, I want to restore you to a situation where you don't suffer from this anymore, where your service isn't getting overwhelmed by your stress." Have you ever been in a situation where your ministry, as you've been serving, has become stressful and it's like, oh, you get home after a youth group on a Friday night or whatever it might have been and you just go, "Oh, man, I'm glad that's over. That was just a headache." Have you ever been in that place? I have. And it's because we're a little bit like Mary, where the things that matter most to us start to matter too much to us, and we lose perspective on the whole situation. And we don't necessarily deal with the tensions well when there are people who don't share our perspective. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. That was a gift Jesus gave to Martha. He said, "You know what? I'm not going to just smooth the waters and make your life easy, because you'll be in this situation again and again and again. I'm going to tell you what you need to understand, and that is you've allowed yourself, in your distraction, being driven around by what you consider to be important, you've allowed yourself to become worried and upset. And you need to learn how to not do that. It's fantastic that you care about practical needs being met, but don't let that control your life." In fact, as somebody who lives after the New Testament was written, we would use expressions like, learn to live controlled by the Spirit, not controlled by what you think you need to do for God. Learn to be Christ-like in your attitude, complete. Don't just let your strengths dominate what you do, because Martha's strength was in her practical care, but that also became her weakness because it grew too big. So don't be dominated just by how you're wired. Allow God to shape you so that your strengths stay strengths. They don't become your weaknesses. Make sure that you still care, and in your caring, you'll be a great blessing to others. But don't become controlled by it, because then, as Satan would have it, our strengths get turned around, and instead of that desire to bless people actually being realized, we're still serving, we're still working, but all of a sudden the blessing goes out of it, and the joy goes out of it, and the thrill of serving goes out of it, and it just becomes less than what it should be. And that's the lesson from Martha's experience in this story. So how does it play out for us? Coaching basketball. I was coaching yesterday. All right, we've got state youth games coming up, so you sporting types, pay attention. This may apply in your situation. when I'm coaching the boys playing basketball, we're in under 12s now, so we're progressing up through the ranks, and I sort of feel like, you know what, we should be starting to apply some skills that we've been working on. We should be starting to nail a few layups. We should be able to pass the ball reasonably well. We should be able to get into our defensive stance. So how do I feel when the boys don't do that? Irritated, right? It's like, man, you should be there. I mean, we've been practicing this. And because I want so much for the team to improve, the danger is I could become controlled by that, and therefore when they don't get there, irritation, thorns, prickliness. Just like Martha was getting a bit prickly, I can get a bit prickly. Now, is it wrong to want to develop the boys and help them to do well at their sport? No way. You know, that's what I'm there for. I'm the coach. I really want them to develop as players, but if it becomes too important, we have a problem. Now, let's just pretend I have an assistant coach. That'd be nice. And the assistant coach, they're wired a little bit differently, and their philosophy is basketball should be fun. You know, these are kids. They just want to rock up and have a good time. Is that true? Yes. Now, how much angst is there going to be between us when we're at training and I'm telling the boys, no, you'll run those suicides again. That was pathetic. How do you expect you're going to play defense on Saturday if you run like that on Monday? And I'm sort of getting all worked up into, how am I going to develop these players and make them fit and make them hard and make them determined? And the other coach is going, okay, guys, time out. Go grab a drink. Man, this isn't fun. And these guys are going to go home and say, Mom, I don't want to play. And there's potential friction there, right? Do I need to hear from that coach's point of view? Yes. And when that coach is running training and it's all just, you know, let's throw lob passes and spin around and catch the ball and just this fun stuff that doesn't actually help them develop as players, does he need to hear from me, you know what, why don't we do this kind of drill, actually get these kids working hard while they're having fun? That'll help their fitness and actually help them do well on Saturday. And after all, no one likes getting belted week after week. Does the other coach need to hear that kind of perspective? Of course. Our strengths are there to help each other, not to cause frustration, irritation with each other. Yet so often, whether it's in church, workplaces, family, we allow irritation to grow where there should be complementarity, where we should be helping one another. So how do we make sure that we don't let that happen? Don't be distracted. Don't be worried and upset. When you are focused on something and you feel the prickliness starting to come out of, grrr, that's a great time to step back and hear Jesus, as he did for Martha, 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 calm down. Let's just step back and get some perspective. Mike, settle down, right? Step back, think about this. Okay, where is the issue? Right, is it in me? Is it in the other person? Was it in Martha? Was it in Mary? In this case, Jesus says, Martha, this is more your issue. Now, we have no idea if later on he spoke to Mary and said, Mary, it's fantastic that you've been able to spend most of the day listening to my teaching, and I really hope that you're able to apply that in your life. But you know what? There's still a lot that needs to be done, and I know Martha would appreciate your help. We don't know if Jesus went and did that for Mary. He probably might have. Or he might have said, Peter, James, and John, you guys, hey, Martha's not finished yet. She should be able to come and join us. She needs to be able to relax too. Go and help her out with that stuff. Jesus probably did something really helpful for Martha, but what she needed most was to learn not to be controlled by that anxiety. So similarly for you, whether it's State Youth Games and you're playing your game of, what's your favourite sport at State Youth Games? Footy. Well, so you're playing your game of footy and the umpiring is ridiculous. That would never happen. But, I mean, we play basketball on Saturdays and there are junior refs and I think that's fantastic and I love seeing these young refs develop, but they make a lot of mistakes. And so I'm always having to say to the kids, hey, don't you worry about what's out of your control, what the ref's doing. What you worry about is what's in your control. Or don't you worry about your teammate. Teammate's not passing me the ball. He's a hog. Okay, are you getting in good position? Are you signalling that you're ready? Are you encouraging your teammate to pass you the ball, congratulating on him when he does do it? What can you control with a good attitude? And if there's stuff that are outside of your control, let me deal with that because I'm the coach. Now, those sort of things in terms of how do we control the... So, in your workplace situation, you've got somebody that you just struggle, and you know they must have strengths, and you know they must, you know, there's good things God's built into them, but he also hid it really well because you don't see it. And so the only thing that telling you this person is wonderful is the fact the Bible says God's put his stamp on every person because, you know, there's just that grating that goes on. When do you actually speak to them about the stuff that irritates you? Are you ever allowed to go and address this stuff? Yeah. But what does Jesus say is the process for doing that? Step back, you know, the Martha, Martha thing. Step back, let's think about this. And then there's that whole log and speck thing. Do you remember that? Where Jesus says, right now, what you're seeing is the big thing, their issue. Tell Mary to come and help me. This is obviously not fair. Right? All you're seeing is that. That's the loud voice in your head, that being upset. That's the thing that is dominating you. Okay, so quiet that down and say, God, will you convict me of the log that's really in my eye, the big thing that I need to address? And once he's done that, will you help me to lovingly deal with the issue that's in the other person? Let's take a youth group meeting after a Friday night. Anyone nervous? So you get together and one of your leaders says, guys, similar scenario to this one. Guys, I'm sick of being the one who has to clean up the kitchen all by myself. Every week, I'm the person doing that. And I just feel like you ought to be in there lending a hand. And is that a valid thing to bring before the team? Absolutely. Why not? All right. Not in, I'm so sick of you guys. You are lazy and you are... No, guys, this is how I'm feeling. And to have the opportunity to have that reflected back and for another leader to say, you know what? That's true. I'd not stopped to think about that before. In fact, we thought you just loved doing that stuff. But, you know, thanks for bringing that to awareness. We're going to work on that because that's not my strength. My strength is I like having fun and I'm out there kicking the ball. So I'm going to really work on being more aware of your needs. Or they might say, you know what? In that moment when youth group is finished, that's the best time for us to connect with kids and parents. And so our focus in this situation really has been, how can we develop those conversations? How can we talk about what we did during the night? How can we get some feedback from them? How can we answer their questions from the devotion? So maybe if we didn't do the kitchen until all the kids have gone, then we could all pile in and help. You can work on whatever the situation is and the sting's been taken out of it if you're prepared to raise it in a manner where you're sharing, but you're also prepared to hear. See, in Martha's state of mind, she wasn't able to hear until Jesus calmed her down. And sometimes we get like that. And then we go home and we say to our parents, spouse, the computer, whoever we're talking to, no, deal with that prickliness and then be prepared to listen to whatever it is and however it is that God's going to speak to you. And when we do that, our strengths really do complement each other. The practical stuff gets looked after, the relationship stuff gets done, and together the body of Christ does what only the body of Christ can, which is be his ambassadors to the world. And our marriages and our home life become much more harmonious, unified, than they would be otherwise, because we're not letting sin stuff up our relationships. We're different. Mary was different to Martha, praise God. It caused prickles, praise God, because the fact that it caused those gave Jesus an opportunity to say, hey, let me speak about how you're wired and how you can learn to be all that I've created you to be. Let's pray. Please be seated. I'm going to finish by telling you just a really short story as part of my encouragement for you as you go out this week. When I was playing basketball up in Broome Prison, I wasn't an inmate, we were visiting, and I got really steamed up because our team wasn't going that well, church team, and so I was saying to the guy who was coaching, he's like, hey, we need to... And I was a little bit steamed up, and so he thought I was really angry, which I kind of was, and he said to me, he pulled me out of the game and said, hey, remember what we're here for? And I went, I know what we're here for! And I was even madder because he was, you know, correcting me on stuff. And have you ever noticed that when you're worked up and that loud voice is there, when somebody says, hey, calm down, you tend to go, oh, that is just the complete opposite of what I'm going to do. All right. So this week, when somebody says to you, Jet, or Bevo, or whoever you are, calm down, you're not seeing things accurately. Instead of blowing up even more like I did in that situation, why don't you say, thank you? And whether they're right or whatever, you have a chance to say, okay, Jesus, what's going on here and what do I need to do about it? And learning to do that is one of the most important life skills you can develop for yourself and model to others. Bless you as you do that this week.